Not everyone wants to be shepherd. That's just human nature. That's just human nature. But it is important that you have a shepherd. And the shepherd is not just to preach on Sunday and Wednesday. Amen. The role is much larger than just preaching on Sunday and Wednesday. Amen. It is helping people to advance in their spiritual walk every day of their life. And without a doubt, people have confrontations of decisions to make in their lives, temptations to move around, overcome. And so the pastor is more than just teaching on Sundays and on Wednesdays. The pastor is to help you to advance, to grow, to become more than you was yesterday, and to grow spiritually, and to have the comprehension through the teaching of the Word of God, but most importantly, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, to open up our understanding that we can comprehend. You cannot explain or share something you do not comprehend. Amen? This is what stops sometimes people from sharing faith, is because they really don't comprehend. I love that passage in the New Testament that tells us the fact is when Philip drawed near in the book of Acts to the Ethiopian who had been in Jerusalem, picked up a scroll of Isaiah and was reading it, God, seeing the need of that eunuch, the opportunity of spreading the truth and the revelation about God, caused Philip to be translated down to the Gaza Strip. Amen. And he attached himself to the chariot and asked the very important question, "Understand what thou readest." "How can I," the eunuch said, "unless some man show me?" So in ministering and pastoring, it's helping people to advance and to grow. Of course, at the same time, the pastor has to advance and to grow too. Amen? If the pastor doesn't advance and to grow, he can't help anybody else to advance and to grow. That particular subject of advancing and growing is so important to God that He had made several statements and parables in relationship to that. And so tonight, I want to help you, those that's watching in on the internet, to help you as well, to understand about when you become a Christian, God desires that you will grow in your knowledge of Him and in your faith in Him, in your walk with Him, that you can be a person that's able to share your faith with complete understanding of what God is doing in your life. Amen? Yeah. Because if you understand what God's doing in your life, you can share with other people, and they can become aware of what God wants to do with their lives as well. So I'm going to teach you from this subject tonight. It's a continuation from Sunday's message. But I'm going to look at it a little bit differently. I'm going to look at it from the standpoint of the Scriptures of what God wants us to do about our understanding and our growth with Him. We're going to call this lesson tonight, "The Law of Gradual Advance." The Law of Gradual Advance. We want you to turn your Bible to Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. Mark, chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And he said, so the kingdom of God, so is the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, he likes it to a man who's going to sow seed, cast seed into the ground. Verse 27, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow forth. And he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth the fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. God really understands. It's amazing. Everything that God ever did, the Bible especially brings out the fact is, from the Old Testament to the very last, the very end verse in the book of Revelation, has a meaning, has a substance to it, has a purpose to it. In the Old Testament, type and shadows. Type and shadows was forecasting what was going to come. Being in the New Testament as we are, we can look back in the Old Testament and say, yes, I see that now, how it's unfolded into where we're living today. The old saying that I was taught by my pastor years ago was, in the old is the new contained, and in the new is the old explained. It's a gradual learning in the process of understanding of what living for God is about, what I can do for God, what He wants to do for my life. And again, you cannot accomplish anything for God unless you have a comprehension. One thing about children in school is they're concerned about their comprehension. In other words, they're in class, they're studying, but are they comprehending what they're studying? Are you comprehending the things about history, about math, whatever it may be, the subject? Are you comprehending it? Because if you do not comprehend it, you'll never learn it. Consequently, you'll never pass in the things you need to pass in. We need to comprehend what is the kingdom of God. We need to comprehend what it is to grow in Christ. It's more than just showing up on Sunday morning or Wednesday night Bible study. And I commend you for coming on Wednesday night Bible study. I commend you for wanting to learn and to study the Word of God. But my concern is that God will help you through the Holy Ghost to comprehend the Word of God, that it may be applied to your life. Now, no nation comes to greatness in character. No nation. And to a corresponding supremacy in position without many painful preparatory processes. You do not grow without pain. How many have heard about growing pains? We look at our children as they're growing up, and they'll have some pain in their ankles or in their hips, their legs, upper torso, whatever. We say, oh, those are what? Growing pains. They become part of the acceptance that if you're going to grow, you're going to have some pain and you're growing. Your bones are going to extend themselves. Same thing spiritually. You're going to have some growing pains. There is first the blade. In this parable, God says, then the ear, after that the full corn is in the ear. What is God trying to tell us? Well, there's a process. There is a gradual advance. You don't learn everything you need to learn about God in the first week you give your life to God. You don't even do that the first month, the first year. Maybe not in the second year, the third year. That's why we bring people along and try to help them all we can. Well, you're in church, aren't you? Yes, but I'm growing. I'm growing. Don't you know everything about God? Not everything. I'm learning. I'm trying to come to that place. I'm that little blade, you know, sticking out of the ground here. I've been planted in the ground. I've been roughed up. I've had some hard times. I've allowed that scarification to come along to scar me, to break open some things where God can seep into my spirit, to my life, and feel the love and the moisture of God, get rid of the hard shell that we talked about Sunday. So there is that area. First, naturally, comes the means of substance, then the convenience, then the elegance, and only after a long and still advancing struggle, the great achievement of perfection. Now, the church has had to pass through stages of imperfect growth. Has the church had good growth all the time? I'm talking about from the beginning of the New Testament church until the present day. Has there been a struggle? Been a struggle. Amen. Growth is part of a struggle which is common to our system existing in the human society. The church did not burst upon the world a finished organization, perfect when it was first set up. Jesus Christ did no more than show a few men into the place of his closeness and his fellowship. Then he turned them loose into a Palestinian society with few religious truths in their hearts. And these truths begin being alive by divine force. The divine force is the Spirit of God. For the kingdom of God is the Spirit of God. In it has righteousness, peace, and joy. It's all in the Spirit of God. The King James translation says, the Holy Ghost. Amen. So here is God manifest in the flesh. He gathers men together. They fill the pool to follow him, to leave their nets if they were fishermen, to leave the tax table if they was working for the Roman government to collect the taxes. Here was this pool, the same pool that you and I have felt in our generation, our lifetime. Why are you a Christian? Because I have felt the pull of something greater than me, greater than myself, to something even greater. And so I come to a church. I come to seek God. I come to find a relationship. And so God established that same thing within fishermen and tax collectors and ordinary men. He put truth within sight of them, simply because they observed what truth was. Knowing that only God can do these things, they can understand that it took God to accomplish anything that they wanted to see accomplished. Same thing in our lives. If you want to see healing, we know only God can do the healing. But God uses your faith, encouragement, to strengthen other people to believe that God can heal their bodies. So it is the same thing in those days as it is in these days. Truth being alive, divine force made the men alive. Live, and contagious, and they spread their enthusiasm. It sought expression through common forms, and a multitude became a community, a church. It has been really growing ever since the day of Pentecost, 120 to 3,000. People today say, we struggle. We can't get people interested in the power of God or to come to church. Well, perhaps if we had the same enthusiasm of falling out of the upper room into the streets, speaking in other tongues, the Spirit of God give the evidence and cause a disturbance, maybe people would say, what's going on there? What meaneth this? And then you know and have the ability to say, this is what it means. It means God's power entering into men's lives to change the course of the destiny of society that they live in. Amen? Today we're content. We're just happy. We are just flowing along. We're having church. God wants a church. A church that is built upon a rock. A church that has a revelation of who God is. And you have a revelation of who God is, then you have a revelation of what God can do. Yeah. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Amen? So this whole process is vital, this law of gradual advance. You start out as a small child in God, and you learn and you grow. But the process of learning, this process so vital, is that a child, as much as it is coaxed to stand up and walk when it's crawling, has to one day try it. They have to get on their knees. Look at it crawl. It's a nice crawling child. It's a lovely child, and it's crawling everywhere. But the excitement comes not in its crawling, but the day that finally stands up erect on 2 feet and begin to take those steps. There's where the hand clapping comes in. That's where the cheering comes in. Am I right? No one stands around and claps for the baby who's crawling. They're clapping for the baby who's standing upright and trying to walk. In the parable of the growing seed, found here in Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. The first lesson that Jesus teaches us is that progress in our personal walk with God is vital and not mechanical. Church should never be mechanical. You should never walk into the house of God and say, well, I know how it's going to go. If you can walk in there and know how it's going to go and it goes like that, then it is mechanical. Amen? The seed contains in itself the germ of all the future growth. Hence, all expectation most actually begin and end with the grain that is sown. We talked about the Word of God being the seed of God. That Word has to grow within sight of us. For anything progressive to happen in your walk with God, you've got to allow the Word of God to grow in your heart. I was speaking with somebody before church today who told me they picked up a book on the Old Testament about the garments of the priest. They are excited about it. They're reading this book because everything about the garment of the high priest was something that had a meaning to it. Everything that God had ever done for Israel had a meaning to it. Everything. The tabernacle. If we would take time, we'd be months studying just a tabernacle plan. How that the badger skins all were colored, several layers of badger skins. Why? Because they all had a meaning and substance to it over the wooden roof that was over the tabernacle itself. The curtain that went around the outer court of it with the silver sockets had a meaning to it and a purpose and a reason. The cords of it to hold the whole wall up together had a meaning and a purpose to it. Amen. So we've got to allow the Word of God. It's not coming just to hear the preacher, but it's absorbing the seed, absorbing the Word, because inside the Word is that germination, is that possibility. If it falls on good ground, it's going to take hold. It's going to take root. If you have no interest in the Word of God and you come to church, it's going to be falling on ground that's hard, amen? And the devil's going to come along and it's going to pick it up and going to devour it, and it will not have opportunity to take seed. It's all about our condition of our heart, our want to, our desire, our hungerness, our thirstiness. Oh, I come to church because if I don't, the pastor's going to get mad at me. Pastor's going to call me up. He's going to talk me up, going to bring me into the office. And I don't want to go through that process, so I'll just go to church. Others say, well, I'm not going to go to church. You don't have to go to church. Yes, you do. Yes, you have to assemble yourself together. Who told you you didn't? Yourself. Why? Because there's no seed there that's germinating. The Word of God is not germinating within inside of your heart and your spirit. The ground is not good. The seed's not taking root. Hallelujah, anyhow. Come on. You see, you can come in and hear the word of God and go out as if it's just another word. Every time you open up that Bible, that word is there. Every time you hear a preaching, that word is there. Brother Easton's going to come. Oh, Brother Easton's going to come. Oh, praise God. Well, Brother Easton's going to teach you word. And you let that word absorb within inside of your spirit and your heart to take root. Amen? Or it's just another evangelistic service, another nice sermon, another nice word. That was good. I have people say, oh, that was a good message. I want to say to them, did it take hold? Is there any change coming? You get anything that's going to change the direction of your life, your spirit? We've come used to be connoisseurs of hearing good preaching, but never letting it take hold of us. Amen. God wants gradual growth to grow. They tell you, you drink plenty of milk. Milk is good for your what? Bones. Okay? That's good. What's the word of God for? What's the good is the word of God for? What good is it for? Growth. Well, it feeds you. But you have to absorb it. Some people are lactose intolerant. Some people are word intolerant. Pastor's back here now. My eyes are fixed. Okay. I can read the scripture now. We can be word intolerant. We can be offended by the word. If your heart's not right, you will be offended by the word every time it goes across the pulpit. If the ground's not right, you'll be offended by it. I've never seen a world we lived in where so many people are so offended all the time. Offended. You offend me. Your hair's not parted right. You offend me. In other words, you can only expect to reap what you are willing to plant in your heart. Let me say it again. You can only reap what you are willing to plant in your heart. As you start your walk with God, there must be a planting of righteousness and relationship if you want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Why do some people not advance in their spiritual walk? Because they're not willing to plant the word in their heart. We learned that the ground develops the germ. The human life and experience that the seed falls into has to be prepared and, of course, needs to be cultivated. This is why God deals with people long before they ever give their life to God. He deals with their spirit. He deals with their situation. He deals with them in their society until they get sick of drugs. They get sick of the world they're living in. I'm tired of living this way. What's happening? Because God is dealing with them and their spirit is being disturbed. They're looking for something different to change their life. Change the experience. The ground is being prepared for the word of God. And they come. Maybe you cross their pathway and you talk to them about God. Maybe their heart is being prepared. Right moment, God sends you by with the seed, with the word of God to share with them. And it's planted in the heart, the ground that's prepared. Amen? All of a sudden, something takes root, something takes hold. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in that. Then God sends His celestial benediction of sunshine and showers. We are to add to our attainments, giving all diligence, 2 Peter 1:5. Let me read it for you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Everybody say, add. Now, you've been in for God, the seed's in your heart, but you need to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For these things be in you. Be in you and abound. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to have that knowledge. It's a progressive process by which you obtain and you add it to your life, and you never be barren, never be unfruitful. The blessings of God will be in your life forever. Hallelujah. Come to the church, hearing the word of God, letting that ground be absorbent to the word of God. We're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that works in both you will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. We also learn that the man casts the seed. God gives it, and the germ of salvation is in what God gives. But a free-willed man must let it sink into his heart and life. There are means of grace, and we must put ourselves in the way of them. The first step in the new life is displayed in the fact of willingness to take another step. If you had a baby who wouldn't eat, you'd be concerned. If you had a child that would not eat, you'd be concerned. If you had a child that just wanted pizza and pizza only, you better be concerned. Well, it's getting its vegetables, it's getting its mushrooms, it's getting its, you know, green peppers, and it's getting whatever the sausage and all of that stuff in that area. Something happens here. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all with open face beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord are changing to the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, there's something progressively comes along here. You've got to go from one step to the next step. Don't be content just to level off in your relationship with God. Don't be content to say, well, I've got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues when the Spirit of the Lord came, and I'm happy and I'm content. No. You want to grow. Amen. Believe you me, you want to grow. Yeah. You want to grow in the knowledge of Him. Yeah. Open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit, capital S, the Lord's Spirit. Blade first, ear comes, and then the full corn. You see, the full corn begins as a blade in a small shoot. You remember when you first came to God, how excited you was, how awesome it was, what a tremendous, I mean, it's just great. Yeah. I told my wife, I was in service. Of course, we didn't have air conditioning. And when I came in the church, I think it was in the summertime, and I come out of the service and back there in the church, and no air conditioning. And we had pine board seats. As pews in the church, and it was warm, and we'd worship. I'd worship, I'd wear my suit and my tie. My underarms would just be soaking wet. My suit, my pant legs would be just wet with perspiration. Just, my wife said, why? Why do you do that? If we're not careful, we just get used to God. He's supposed to be there. He's supposed to heal me. He's supposed to provide my needs. He's supposed to do that. I go to church, take my shopping list. God, here. And you're supposed to do all of that. I get a call from people who say, can you pay my rent? Can you give me gas money? Can you do this? No, I'm sorry, I cannot do that today. Why not? You're a church. You're a church. You're supposed to do that. God, you're supposed to do that. No. No, he's not just supposed to do that. No. We get the idea he's just supposed to do that. He's not going to say, enter in to the rest, thou good and faithful servant, if you have not been a good and faithful servant. He's not going to say that. Well, if I make it to heaven, well, he's going to say that to me. I hope he does. But I got a feeling he won't say it because it's possible for God to lie. Because if you haven't been a good and a faithful servant, he's not going to say that. Amen. Seed is enlarged by the addition of fresh cells, which continues until the blade is fully formed. Now the truth set forth in the Word of God and sown in a fertile mind will develop in the same way. Because I told my wife, and she's a precious, precious lady. I said to her, coming out of the world and all the junk and the garbage and the sin of the world, I told her, you do not understand what you have. You cannot take God for granted. You cannot take God for granted like you do your spouse. Where's my socks? Huh? Where's my dinner? Well, I married you. So you're supposed to wash my socks and fix my dinner. Anything else I can think of. Huh? Sister Cox said to me, refrigerator's there, eggs are inside, skillets are down there. I said, wait a minute. I borrowed $10 to marry you. I want my $10 worth. No, I didn't say that. I'm saying, if I had said that, I'm just saying. Don't we take a lot of things for granted? And we expect it? Yeah? Just like the patch, you're supposed to be nice. I know. You've been living for God for an extended period of time and your idea and concept of Him has not changed. Then the seed of truth has not taken root in your life and mind. If you've not grown since you first received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we need to check on the ground. If your concept of God is the same as it was when you first saved, you've lost because you've had no relationship with Him. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over again, that song says. Do you stumble? Yes, you stumble. There's winds that will come along and try to blow your cornstalk over. There's plight that will come along, disease will try to destroy the plant from producing the ear that's going to feed a family or a nation. There's always those problems that you keep growing through and keep moving beyond the problem or the situation. The ear is the case in which the corn is formed. It is preparatory to the fruit and it determines. It shows a life partially developed. It has not reached its intended maturity yet. Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of God. Well, I've been in church for 50 years. That doesn't mean you have grown to maturity in the Spirit.
There you go. Come
You've been in the field a long time, but you haven't reached that place of maturity in your walk with God yet. Most of the dangers that surround the beginning of your walk with God, as I said Sunday morning, and I really meant it and felt it, the reason why Christians, apostolics in particular, seem to rebound from the problems and the heartaches and the sorrows is because you understand, you grasp the light source, and you grow towards the light source. The seed inside of you, the Word of God, is there, and it is there to expand. And in when you're upside down, or you go through the scarification, you go through your trials, the sickness, the affliction of your body, the flesh, your family falling apart, your job disintegrating, whatever it is, why don't you just die? You can, because if you've got faith in God, there's something that turns you around and pulls you back up to the light. Yeah. 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 The Word of God should never lay dormant, waiting for something to happen. This is life that has experience enough to make things happen. You've seen enough to make things happen. If you walk with God for long enough, you should be right in the midst of things happening. In the Christian life, the ear is the purpose of God in the will. The new thought and knowledge begins to form and purpose. It begins to reach its intended state. The full corn is the reproduction of that which came as a seed. That is, our lives yield a result, which is the reproduction of the character of Jesus in our lives. And the third stage is reproduced in the life of godly men and women. It's a condition of substantial progression. Let the elder women teach the younger women. But if you're not reached that point of maturity and you walk with God, how can you teach others? What we are lacking in these days is men and women who've reached a stage in their lives in the walk with God and the knowledge of the Word of God and the power of God, as you reach to that corn stage, or that ear stage, where that it's there and you're able to instruct or to teach and to share. We're short on teachers. We're short on teachers. Can I tell you tonight, it's not a life of uncertain promise, which may never be fulfilled, but of reality and of substance. It's not a matter of outward form, but one of precious value. The ear is full. It is a life of weight, of value, and of fullness. A life that is consecrated to God. From this lifestyle of holy separation emerges out. It is this incredible love for the giver of true life. It is a life lived in the state of triumph. An inherent weakness has been conquered. A mature life has been gained. No more when the wind blows do the stalk falls over. There's no Christ-given thought that shall not also become a Christ-like endeavor. I wish the church would grow, then go plant seed. I like to see like it was in the old days. Well, the old days, there were people that was committed and didn't care how long you stayed at church. Revival could be power. The preacher could preach a message, it would just curl the hair on the back of your neck. No, give me more. I want to hear what God wants to tell me. If you want old times way, then you need to get back to old time. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, what he started in you, he can finish it if you allow him to finish it until Jesus comes back to take a church out of this world. Christianity is gradual in progress. The difficulties in which it has been to contend are tremendous. The means that it adopts are moral. The change that it attempts is radical. The field in which it works is extensive. The time at its growth is at hand. I can talk about 500 or 1,000 church growth. And I look at empty seats on a Wednesday night. And I commend you for being here. Most of you are faithful, faithful, faithful. And God keeps a record of that. He keeps a record of that. But the only way this church is going to grow is more seed that is sown. And the seed that is sown within us is allowed to grow to maturity. Great law of spiritual growth is not always recognized, and neither are men always content with it. The reason is because we're always eager for a quick result. God advances this new life according to its own laws. Let me say this tonight. There's things that we need to leave in the hands of God. Go to the next slide, please. Give me the next one. Give me the next one. After sowing the seed, the man in the parable left the matter to God's hands. Instead of staying up all night worrying about it, he went about his business, and usually in verse 27, instead of worrying about spiritual matters, allow the Holy Ghost to do the work. Come on, that's growing. It's reaching to maturity. Let the Holy Ghost do the work. Let God be God. Once the seed has been planted, if the ground is fertile, it will take root and begin to grow. It's not me to make the seed to grow. I sow the seed. If it falls on good ground, it'll be fertile. It will take root and grow. Amen. And during the course of time, the man could observe but not explained what God accomplished in the growth of the seed. The Greek verb translated spring in Mark 4:27 means germinate. Comes from the root noun blestos, which means germs in the Greek. A man-made seed will never germinate. You cannot make it happen. My dad fiddled around with hybrids. He had an apple tree that he was always messing with. He had 5 varieties of apples on that one tree. He kept splicing in another variety. It was an amazing thing. Big old apple tree, 5 varieties of apples. Here's the thing about a hybrid. It cannot reproduce itself. Cannot. Will not. Won't. You cannot design something that is separate from God and call it a church. Church is not about numbers. It's about spiritual growth, being spiritually healthy. Come on. You could have 5,000 people in a church and it'd be a hybrid church. A church is something that is spiritual, planted of God by the seed. Yes. And allowed to grow within side of its members, it begins to expand and mature. And we grow gradually and gradually. In a growing church, you'll have some who are tender plants, who've been in church a short time, have not comprehended everything yet. And then you've got some that's maybe knee-high, you know, knee-high corn. Boy, I like a good crop out there. Knee-high corn looks good. What you want in a growing church is the law of gradual advance. But somebody's got to be advancing. Somebody's got to be growing. Somebody's got to allow the Word of God to take root and grow inside of them to become spiritual leaders. Come on. Spiritual leaders. Spiritual leaders. You can't sit in the crowd and say, I'm just here for the ride. Tender plant, that's that one way over here to the very end. We look at the power of God in our lives. Tender shoot. We want everything hastened to maturity. But let me tell you, in the church, this is what the pastor deals with. Not everybody grows at the same level. Pastor's got to teach and try to help people at different levels at different times. One thing that I dislike hearing people say, well, they've been in church longer, they already know. How about your children? When they're growing up, they all grow at the same level, same time, same understanding, same comprehension? This is why comprehension becomes so important. As I was talking to this person before church, the book they was reading about the priests, the garments, and so forth, and they picked up a second book, which was about the tabernacle. A pastor can spend a whole year, if not more, just teaching on the tabernacle and all the things it has to say about the importance of each element. But it would do you no good unless you was willing to comprehend. You can be a journeyman pipe fitter and you can go with your oldest guy in the company and learn how to fit pipe or cut steel or whatever it is. But if you don't comprehend it, you're not going to last very long on the job. Comprehension is so essential in your spiritual walk with God. To comprehend is the gradual advance. God can't trust you with more until you absolutely comprehend what you have. And I wasn't trying to be smart with my wife. I was exuberant for what I felt and come out of the world and the lifestyle and all the stuff I went through. To come to church, to worship, and to walk out feeling good. Not waking up in a drunken stupor somewhere. Not all skinned up and nicked up where I've been in a fight.
Thank you, Jesus.
You just don't understand what you have. You've got a God that wants to grow you and to develop you, and you become a giant. You started out as a tender plant. But look at you. You're at the very end now. You're growing to maturity. You're there producing the corn, the grain, the ears. You are the substance of what the kingdom of God is about. Edifying each other in this manner. Ephesians 4:16. I'm coming to a close. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. A healthy church is a church that loves one another. Edifying itself in love. You see, when you begin to edify one another, we may be likened to the farmer who reaps the harvest and then makes it into nourishment for himself and others. Love covers a multitude of sin, the scripture tells us. You're my brother, you're my sister. Make it to the end. In combat, somebody gets hurt or wounded. You may not know him personally, but if you can reach him, you do everything you can to keep life from flowing out of them. If need be, you grab them by the harness and you drag them to safety. That's maturity. I said that's maturity. Amen. And that is the law of gradual advance. First the seed, then the blade, then the corn and the ear. Grow. I close with this. Some years ago, there was a tragic yet a beautiful love story that was printed in Reader's Digest. Let me share it with you tonight. There was this young lady who was engaged to be married, and sadly, she was in a tragic car accident. The accident was such that her face was destroyed. Her nose was a mangled pulp of flesh. Her lips were mush. Her face was so damaged that anyone who knew her could not recognize her. Her fiancé came to see her in the hospital. He left and never came back. Plastic surgeon was called in on the case, and he looked at her and he wanted to take her case. Plastic surgery was somewhat new at the time, and she did not know if it would help her. The doctor wasn't sure if it would either. But this is what the doctor told her. If you trust me, I will make you beautiful again. Surgeries began, and when she woke from the first surgery, there was no mirrors for her to see herself. Her face looked like so much patchwork. One time, there was some Girl Scouts who came by her house as she had been released from the hospital and for time of recovery. And Girl Scouts came by and knocked on her door, and when this lady opened the door, the Girl Scouts screamed in horror and ran from the yard as fast as they could. Still, the doctor encouraged her. Trust me, I'll make you beautiful again. It was a slow, gradual process, but at the time went on, the doctor and the woman could see the progress. The longer the doctor worked on this woman, the more impressed he became with her. After a time, he began to think of his patience of this woman more and more, and one day found that he had fallen in love with her. When he completed his work, she was a woman of radiant beauty. They married and they traveled the country, speaking about the benefits of plastic surgery. It was a gradual advance, but in the end, it was worth every sacrifice, every disappointment they suffered together. I'm telling you this story on a Wednesday night to those that are here and those that are listening. to tell you about another tragic love story. About a person born into this world with an inner beauty and a radiance. Many become engaged with the prince of this world and go where he wants them to go and do what he wants them to do. And as time goes on, they become disheveled and wrecked, barely recognizable to those who know them and their lives. And when the prince of this world sees how terrible they look, he walks out on them. But a physician, king, who is king of all kings, who takes us in and begins a slow process of change in our lives, he tells us, trust me, and I will make you beautiful again. There are no downfalls and pits along the way. People see us and run away from us because the work is not yet complete. We go to him crying, only to be reassured, trust me, I'll make you beautiful again. And I will tell you, the years that I've pastored, I've seen the dirty work of the devil, the enemy of the world who destroyed so many lives. And I can also tell you as a pastor, the marvelous work when you turn the case over to Jesus Christ. Because he can make a person beautiful again. And while God is working on you, he falls in love with you again, over and over. Where are his brides to be? And when the work is complete, we'll have a beauty that even the angel will envy. Isaiah 61, verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil for joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. In other words, come on, you're a tender plant. He loves you. And when he's finished with you in maturity, what a beauty. A bride as if coming down as a city out of heaven. Oh. Wow. Come on. Keep advancing, church. Come on, child of God. Keep advancing. One spiritual foot in front of the other. Come on. Come on, advance. Come on. Grow to maturity. I know this is a generation of microwave miracles. But we're going to have to be the life that Jesus Christ intends for us to be. We must learn this gradual advance. Because there's no quick process to get to it. I looked at this yard out here the day, and I was running some errands, and I was looking at this yard and how beautiful. I'm not sure who mowed it this yesterday, whoever, but it's beautiful. It's manicured. Anybody driving by this property, looks at this yard and this area, would say, man, They do good. I looked at the front of this church. I past 2-3 days, I've drawn in front of the church, and the flowers that Sister Barb has planted. But she's not only planted them, she has showed up every morning early to water them, to fertilize them. Gradual advance. There would be no beautiful flowers unless somebody helped them to advance to the maturity. I looked at that sign out there and I'm saying, wow, what a transformation of the flower things. What, I don't know what to call them. Growing up tall. It's because Barbara showed up and fertilized it. I told Sister Cox, tell Barb, stop fertilizing. They're going to grow taller than the sign. I I will tell God, God, do not stop fertilizing with your spirit every heart, every soul, every life of this congregation, because they will grow bigger and taller and stronger in faith. A mighty church, a healthy church, a strong church. Don't stay in the leaf. Don't stay just knee high. Allow God to grow you to maturity. Because on that stalk, there's this ears of corn that can feed a nation, that can feed a city, that can feed a family. Praise God. How many want to grow? I want to grow. Let that seed fall on good ground. Let it take root. Let me grow. Let me grow. Don't tell me you can't do anything for God. God will tell you, I give you everything you need. I put the word in you.